Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Peter Krugel, CEO of Mast Energy Developments, to discuss an exciting series of updates from the company. From record high revenues at Pybridge in September, the sale of a development project to refocus on operational assets, and the progress of their genset overhaul, to a new project finance framework agreement and strategic board changes, there's a lot to unpack. We'll dive into how MED is navigating the evolving energy market, increasing its flexible power generation capacity, and setting the stage for long-term growth. Welcome back, Peter. How's things?
Hello, Phil. Hello, Kevin. Thank you for having me back. And yes, it's been a very busy period for us the past while, I think, as can be seen in the RNS announcement today. And yes, a lot of positive developments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's start with the revenues. I mean, you must obviously be delighted with these month-on-month growths, but September 2024 revenues at Pybridge reached a record 95,000, up some 10%, driven by embedded benefits. And October, preliminary revenues are at 65,000 before the embedded benefits, with average revenue per megawatt for July to October increased to £23,000 per month, reflecting strong market conditions and high UK power prices due to low winds. So September saw record revenues at Pybridge. So what were the key factors driving this increase, Peter, and how sustainable are these revenue levels?
Yes, that's a good question, Phil. So typically, we see higher revenues during the so-called shoulder months, which is March and April, and September and October of each year, due to large baseload generators being offline for their biannual maintenance schedules. So that increases our generation demand. And I think on top of that, you know, any low wind conditions also increases our generation demand, as well as our revenue levels due to the high power prices. And we've seen that in September. We've seen that in October. We're actually seeing that into November as well now. You know, so that's typically our best months of the year. That gets averaged out over time. But in general, you know, that's what we're looking at. And I think the average revenue per megawatt per month is a good indicator of what we can expect going forward.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, the second of the three gen sets at Pybridge is nearing completion and, you know, commissioning expected by the end of November. And presumably it won't be long until the third gen set is there, which will give you this 8.1 megawatt. So I guess if we look at that number you just alluded to, this price per megawatt as 23,000 per month, and we can multiply that up by 8 per month and then to 12 for an annual basis, it gives you around 2.235 million. Is that a fair sort of target for now?
Yes, that is. And obviously, you know, we need to include the capacity market contract income in that figure as well. And, you know, that's the gross income, you know, from the site at the full 8.1. And then, you know, our operational profit margin from that is around 30%, which is typical for these sites. So strong cash flow expected from the site and our other sites going forward. And I mean, this business model is not unique to us. You know, I think it's a mature business with a lot of assets running, and we're seeing the same numbers coming out of that, which we're proving now, you know, for our own purposes on Pybridge.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we also saw the news of the sale of the Rochdale project that was sold for £258,170 to Balance Power Projects. And obviously, the sale aligns with your strategy to focus on acquiring already constructed sites for a quicker income generation. So, you know, what led to the decision to sell Rochdale, and how does that align with this new sort of MED's refocus strategy?
Yes, the refocus strategy is the main reason for the sale of Rochdale, which is one of our development sites. You know, we want to get as many megawatts into production as quickly as possible. And at this stage, given the positive outcome and results from Pybridge, we've now proven that acquiring an existing site that's already been constructed, including the grid and gas connections, which is an important part of a site setup and which can be costly and time consuming to construct, you know, not only comes in at a lower total investment cost compared to a new build, but also a much shorter time to income generation. So that's our focus, you know, for the next while, to focus on such sites, you know, as I said, as we've proven now on Pybridge. And, you know, that doesn't mean that we're not going to further develop our other sites that we have in the portfolio that still needs to be constructed. It's just, for the next while, as I said, to get as many megawatts into production as quickly as possible. We've refocused the strategy and the strategic sale of this one development site, at a fair price, which is higher than what we paid for it, not only gives us non-dilutive cash funding to the company, but also allows us to then fast track our refocus strategy.
So what does that cash flow mean to the company then, Peter, in terms of selling Rochester?
It means that it mitigates the need for any dilutive capital fundraisings for the foreseeable future, which is important to us, not to raise it at the low share price and, build that up. And it allows us to focus on the refocus strategy and to fast track M&A activity, which we have lined up. We're looking at a number of next acquisitions. Most of it's in advanced discussions, and we're going to take next steps in that regard soon.
So regarding the Riverfort deal that was talked about in the RNS, just put some flesh on that, because obviously I don't think you could specify specifics in it because there's no specific deal involved at this moment in time. But what have they elected that they will do?
Yeah, so the Riverfort Framework Funding Agreement that we've entered into, I think, comes from the first investment by Riverfort into PowerBridge and the positive outcomes that we've been seeing there. So Riverfort has been saying that, they want to grow their relationship with us and further support us. And a key part of that process is for them to, is this framework funding agreement where they're saying that they will underwrite at least 50% of any future transactions that we're going to do, next acquisitions, further developments, etc., in order to grow our portfolio as quickly as possible. So that proves that, we have a key anchor investor or funder, sitting at the table, and that shows that we're doing the right things and we're getting the support for that.
So the other assets that you have in the portfolio that are not developed, do you see that you may go down the same route as in as Rochdale and effectively exchange them for ones that are already developed and in production?
Not at this stage, no, Kevin. So the idea at this stage is to get those sites funded and into construction and into development. I mean, any site with a grid and gas connection offer on the table and with all the property rights in place, is valuable. And I think getting more valuable in the sense that grid and gas connections are becoming more heavily competed for, as energy generation comes into the stream. So,
So just tell listeners what other assets that we have that have those oil and gas connections.
yeah, the grid and gas connections.
Oh,
So
the grid and gas, yes,
we've got
sorry.
Hindlip Lane. Hindlip Lane is a 7.5 megawatt site. We've got Bordersley. Bordersley is a 5 megawatt site, and we've got Stather Road, which is a 2.5 megawatt site. So in total, we've got 15 megawatts sitting there, ready to be constructed, subject to funding, and that's going to be the focus, is to get those sites funded and into construction.
Okay, so that's the longer game, but the shorter game is to go and buy megawatts.
Yes, absolutely.
And I mean, you mentioned again a very aggressive target in the RNS, 300 megawatts. I mean, this is pie in the sky compared to where you are now. How quickly do you think this can all happen? I mean, I know we've been talking about this for a couple of years, so.
Yes, I think the strategy that we're focusing on now is firstly, we've proved the operational performance, the economics, and the funding capability on PowerBridge. That's been done now. And the idea is to double that. So to do a next transaction to double the megawatts, and then double, a next transaction to double those megawatts again. So going from 10 to 20, 20 to 40, 40 to 80, and kind of, doing it by way of compounding. And I think if we can do that, we'll get to 300 fairly quickly.
Okay, and if we look at 23,000 as an average revenue for per megawatt, if we go backwards just to PiBridge, you're talking about then 30% roughly of net cash flow on that. So you're in and around the £7,000 per megawatt per month cash flow. So
Yes.
if we times that by 8.1 and then times it by 12, you're talking about £670,000 worth of free cash flow for PiBridge. Now, if you were to double that, Are we talking pretty much the same situation?
Yes, the economics are very general, applicable to all the sites. So that is very much the expectation, yes.
So then you would have net cash flow of between 1.3 and 1.4 million pounds.
Yes.
If that was to happen with all of the debt at project level, is that fair to say as well?
Yes, absolutely. And just to clarify, the cash flow is pre-debt repayment, and the fundamental principle of these assets are, to introduce leverage or debt funding into the assets, get that paid down as quickly as possible, and the assets' lifetime of 15 years. If you can get the debt sorted in the first few years, everything after that, is profits to the equity shareholders.
What number of years do you anticipate to pay off the debts for each one of these if the lifetime of it is 15 years? Maybe it takes the 15 years, but you could do it much quicker if you needed to.
Yes, typical commercial bank debt is a 7-year term to get the debt repaid. So the idea is, if you sort out the debt in the first 7 years, and there will be some left, some cash flow left, after taking care of the debt during those 7 years. But everything else, in the last 7 years is, as I said, profit to the equity shareholders. But obviously, the sooner we get the debt repaid, the sooner, all of the profits will go to the equity shareholders. So I think it all depends on what the market does over that time. If there's going to be some good years, as we've seen in 2021 with the energy crisis due to the war in Ukraine. But I think in general, we're talking 5 to 7 years to get the debt sorted at most, and then the rest is all profits to the equity shareholders.
So, from the point of view of the special purpose vehicle that is currently on Pybridge, as it stands at the minute, the debt is involved in that special purpose vehicle, and all of the free cash flow is then flowing to MAST. Is that right? So, for instance, your 95,000 that you produced in revenue, obviously the cost's taken off that, and then maybe the 30% then rolls up to MED. Is that fair to say that's how it's working out as we speak?
Yes, pre-debt repayments. So the facility at the moment is structured that the debt repayments, I think, starts after 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that's all been announced. So the terms are out there. Obviously, when the debt repayments start, a portion of the cash flow will go toward the debt repayments, and what remains will, yes, will go to MED.
So the deal is really that we've got to try and grow this as quickly as possible over a couple of years, and it's an essential service. I think that's what people got to understand, is that the peaking stations, because of the wind, because of the reliability of our renewable resources in the UK, are going to need your balancing act for the grid.
Yes, and we've seen that practically playing out the past few months. I mean, November specifically has been a very good example of that. There's been extended periods of not low wind, but absolutely no wind. And because more than 40% of the UK energy mix come from wind generation, the moment that there's no wind, there's a very big problem. But that problem is addressed by flexible generation assets such as Pybridge and the MED business model. So absolutely critical to the UK energy mix, to sustain baseload, to support renewables, not only the current renewables, but also as renewables grow. And we're very excited about what the future holds.
Yeah, I just want to mention that the board changes as per the RNS, Peter, and obviously we saw the departure of Louis Curtsey and Dominic Traynor. So just want to say, what sort of qualities are you looking for in a new chairman, and sort of when do you expect an appointment to be made?
Yes, Louis and Dominic has been with the business for quite some time, especially Louis, but both of them have other business interests which they want to pursue. So, they've stepped down, and we're appreciative of their time with the company. In the meantime, Paul Venter, the co-founder of the business, is going to take over as interim chairman. He's very experienced in the industry and with MED itself. And yes, I think as we grow the portfolio, we will look at the board composition and perhaps to grow that. At the moment, a key focus for us is cost control, and the re reduced board fees is you know, enhances our cash flow runway at the moment. So that's a focus for us and something that's important.
Very good. Well, it certainly seems like from talking to you 6 months ago that we've made some major steps forward. You know, the company now seems to be on very secure footing. And yeah, another purchase with this ability now with Riverfort would be a real step forward, I think, in terms of growing this. And as you said, if it goes from 10 to 20 to 40 to 80 to 160 to 320 over the next 2 or 3 years, then you're going to have, you know, a business worth a lot of money, I would imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, on that note, we'll say Peter Krugel, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you, Kevin, as always.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.